In this week's podcast, I want to answer a few listeners' questions, and I want to speak about the living word. Greetings. Thank you for tuning in to listen to Equipping the Bride podcast. I'm Brother Jason DeMars from Beaufort, South Carolina, a minister at Bethel Tabernacle. New episodes of this podcast are posted every Friday. You can watch this podcast on YouTube and listen to it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. If you have any questions, testimonies, or prayer requests, please let me know at jasondemars.com. I also have free books and tracts available at my website, and shipping is free as well. May the Lord richly bless you. Greetings, everyone, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord richly bless you. Thank you so much for listening in. Just want to remind everyone, if you appreciate the podcast, please go on to Apple Podcasts, if that's where you listen. Take up just a moment to give us a rating there and a review on Apple Podcasts. I appreciate those who have. We have 12 ratings, and they are all 5 out of 5. Thank you for that. Would love to get your feedback if you're listening on there. I know there's more people listening on there, so please give us a rating. Those listening on Facebook, please make sure to like, share, and give us your feedback, any questions you have on YouTube. Please do the same thing. Please comment, please like, please share. I want to go through a few comments, but before I do that, just remind you, on Buzzsprout or on the website, you can go on and support the podcast, support the ministry. We have a number of needs right now for printing books in Egypt, and sermons of Brother Branham, and also the brothers in Pakistan would like to print my book, End Time Message Handbook, which has been translated to Urdu, and the cost for that is $600. If anyone would like to be involved in supporting that, that would be great. We're also trying to do a lot of outreach with books and materials, so if it's on your heart to help support that work, the message is going into places in America, Canada, that wouldn't normally go to, because people are watching on YouTube and getting these books. And I know that there are people who are for the first time hearing the message of the hour. So thank you for your prayers. Also, in traveling, got a lot of positive comments and feedback from people about the books and about the podcast. Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate that. Let me know your feedback. It helps so much to realize that. Sometimes it can get discouraging when you're here doing it on just in your office, at your home, and you don't get the feedback from people. I really like to have that, to know even topics and subjects you'd like for me to cover. So again, if you don't know me, I'm Jason DeMars, apostle and teacher. Done missions work overseas now for 12 years. We're continuing to do that. Things are changing and developing over time, so we're seeking the Lord for His direction. I need your prayers, I guess I would put it that way. So appreciate that. Here is some feedback that I received, some positive and some questions as well. JeffTube58 writes on the YouTube, the feminization of the church. Thank you, Jason, for this important message. In A Quiet Life, Dace Hyatt writes, very edifying. Thank you. I appreciate what you said about speaking the truth in love and tenderness within the right timing, but always speak the truth is the best policy. Amen. Sister Hannah writes in, have so enjoyed your podcast. I look forward to it every week. Thank you for doing it. Thank you. I appreciate that feedback. So glad that you're blessed by them. Another writer, someone writes in the question, Prabish, I believe someone from India, writes, and please explain Leviticus 19:27. And this comment comes in on the video I did, what does the Bible say about long hair? So let's read Leviticus 19:27. You shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shalt thou mar the corners of thy beard. So this is a commandment to Israel, and those when you teach that the Bible says a woman shouldn't cut their hair and a man should have short hair, they will refer to this to make us cower in fear and say, oh my, I don't say this brother is trying to get us to do that, but many people do that. Cower in fear, say, oh no, there's a verse that says something about this and it's not relevant to now. So we should just dismiss anything the Bible says about modesty and hair. Well, sorry, we're not going to cower in fear. There's no problem to look at this verse and see in this time, the pagans cut their hair in a specific way. And God is commanding them, don't cut your hair like the pagan people around you. The Arabs had a way of cutting their hair, and the Egyptians had a way of cutting their hair. And God is saying, don't be identified with idolatry. Simple. How did they cut their hair, and what does this have to do with anything? We actually don't know the details of how they cut their hair. As we look at archaeology, we have an idea of the way that they cut their hair, but largely we don't know specifically what he's referring to. But he's saying, do not round the corner of your hair here in the back. See, he's commanding not to do that because the pagans were doing it in a specific way to identify themselves with their deity. They don't do that anymore, but if there's a place that they do that, don't do that. That's what it's saying. In other words, you could take it and extrapolate it to this principle is don't look and act and dress and do your hair like the world. All right. I always get lots of replies about my sermons on Godhead, whether it be as God is one, or why the Trinity is false. So this is a comment on why the Trinity is false. Many of them suppose that I incorrectly, that I'm oneness or Jesus only. And this is perhaps some of the same. Amada writes in, sir, may I ask you how you approach the holy God if he was the only one? All our righteousness are filthy rags. No one has seen God, declared God's word. Even Moses could not see God face to face in all his glory. God has to send his only begotten Son, not created, but existed with God the Father. If the Son is not eternal with God, his death would not have any effect on his death on the cross, but the Bible declares he died to atone for the sins of the whole world. It also says he offered himself through the eternal Spirit without spot to God. All three are eternal and equal in their working for our salvation from sins to make us righteous in his sight. No salvation without the name of Jesus. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. How can Jesus claim that? If he's not God, the second person of the Godhead, Jesus forgave sins of the paralyzed man. Jesus healed a leper touching him with his hands. Jesus received worship from his disciples and the women who followed him. If he's not equal with God, he cannot claim that. He raised dead Lazarus, who was in the tomb for 4 days, to life. All these prove he is God in flesh. So, absolutely, he is God in flesh. But the Bible never speaks of three persons in one substance. This is not a biblical teaching. This is a post-biblical teaching, and I prove that in the video. If you watch the video, it should tell you what was said. If you didn't watch the video, you might respond with something like this. But with that said, is in the Bible, there's no such thing as three co-equal and co-eternal persons. We've proved this out many of the videos. If you want to watch one of our other videos, go into our YouTube playlist. You'll see a number of videos and series on the Godhead. Brother Branham tells us that Jesus Christ is the self-same person as God. And he tells us what that means is that he's an individual different from God, but the only way that God is manifested is through him. So God is a spirit. So there's not two spirits. There's not three spirits. There's one spirit. God is a spirit. Okay? That spirit came down and dwelt in fullness in Jesus at his baptism. Jesus is a man. It says there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, not the God Christ Jesus. God is not a mediator between God and man, but a man is a mediator of between God and man, and that man is the Son of God. Remember, Adam was referred to as the Son of God. He is the first head of humanity. He fell. Jesus comes as not a man from the earth, but the Lord from heaven. He is not a second person of a divine Godhead or a binity or trinity, but he is the only person of the Godhead, meaning he is the Son of God who fully manifests God. So he was a mediator between God and men. He can forgive sins because God dwells in him in fullness. He is God manifest in the flesh. A prophet who speaks in the name of the Lord can declare forgiveness. Jesus is a prophet. God is dwelling in fullness in him. He is the mediator, so he can, of course, forgive sins. We don't have to define him. We're not forced to define God the way church councils or philosophers define him. We are subject to define God the way the Bible defines him. That's what we stick with. Amen. All right, so we're about 11 minutes, 12 minutes into the podcast. Appreciate everyone listening in. I want to go into my topic now. Is the word dead? Is the word a mere dead letter? I've listened and you hear many speak this, and there's a truth to it. We want to make sure to balance this out with the word. I'm going to read what Brother Branham said. 1953, has the Lord spoken only to Moses? But now in the day, we can't expect the gospel of Christ to be popular. Now the gospel, this is not the gospel. This is a part of the gospel. Paul said, the word, the gospel, come not in word only, but through power and manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? The gospel is not the word only. The word's just a dead letter. It's got to take the letter quickened and made alive and brought to pass what the letter says it'll do. That's the gospel. And in divine love and sovereign grace, Brother Branham says, I'm afraid tonight, friend, as I say it with respect and with reverence, I'm afraid we're giving the church the wrong kind of schooling. We're giving them the schooling from the dead letter and not from an experimentalist standpoint of the new birth to meet the true and living resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, who is just the same tonight as he was in the days gone by. Amen. Amen. So we read that and we see Brother Branham referring to the word as a dead letter. In one statement, he's saying, if all we preach is Jesus died and rose from the dead and is seated at the right hand of God, if this is all we preach, it's not the full gospel. The full gospel is the word quickened, the word manifested, the letter made alive, see? And this only comes in when we understand that there is false teaching, there is denominational doctrine, there is out of balanced preaching that only goes to one side of the coin. They only preach the Baptist or the Methodist without allowing the Spirit of God to move in amongst the people. And this is important. And the other one he's saying is, so we said both of those. One is just the Baptist message. We need not just the Baptist message, we need the full gospel, the word preached in power, or the word taught in power. All right, so, and the other one is saying we have schooling and we have they're being taught merely Baptist theology or Reformed theology. And that's not enough. It needs to be the full word. That's what full gospel means. It means that you believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the gifts of the Spirit operating. All right. However, that's not the whole story, because we don't just have the Spirit of God moving without the word. So the true word manifested is the Spirit of God moving. In the sermon, "And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy." 1962, Brother Branham says, "If our heart condemn us not," there you are, but stay with that word, where there's nothing condemned. There's no condemnation to them that's in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Spirit leads with the word, because the Spirit can only come out of the word, because his word is Spirit. And it can only, the real true Spirit of God can only speak the word of God. Oh my. The Spirit can only come out of the word. This is, the Spirit leads with the word. The Spirit comes out of the word, because the word is Spirit. See, that's not a dead letter. The true word preached is Spirit. It is life. In other words, you can look at that and say the conduit of, just as in electricity, electricity can be out in the air, but it's not going to be directed to the place that it's supposed to go to unless it goes through some kind of conduit. Brass or copper or whatever it might be, it has to have a conduit. The Spirit is the electricity. The conduit is the word. So the Spirit travels through the word to the heart of believers. Recognizing your day and its message. 64. Now I'm going to say something. National Force put Israel in her homeland. National Force will put the church in the World Council of Churches, but the power of God will put the people in the bride. The world forces this way and the world forces that way, but God forces upward. The Spirit of God, which is the Word of God, my Word is Spirit and life, will put the bride in her place, because she'll recognize her position in the Word. Then she's in Christ. We'll put her in her place. No national force will do it, but the national force will drive Israel to the homeland. The national forces of the Council of Churches will drive every organization into it. But the power of God will raise the bride into glory. Amen. All right, so this is a clear. It's the word, the truth, working by the Spirit. So the Spirit operates. It writes the truth on our heart and reveals Christ to us. That is what the new covenant is. It's taking by the Holy Spirit, taking that word and writing it on our hearts so that we become written epistles read and known of all men. Now, what is the dead letter? Let's look specifically at that. Is the gospel dead letter? Is the gospel dead letter? All right, let's go to the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I have some lengthy scriptures. Actually, before we go to 1 Corinthians 2 and 2 Corinthians 3, I want to read a few scriptures. One of them is Brother Branham referred to it. John 6, 63. Jesus speaking, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, brings to life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So that which brings life is the words of Jesus, and it's the full gospel. Anybody that's bringing to you just the days of miracles are past, and there's no gifts of the Spirit operating, and we don't believe in the Spirit of God moving in the church. We just preach the word. That's not right. The Spirit of we let the Spirit of God move the way the Spirit of God wants to move. We are to get ourselves out of the way. We don't want to manufacture anything. You can be anointed, but not to the word. You can be anointed to do signs and wonders, and that anointing can be false. But the true anointing takes us back to the word, and we say amen to every word that God brings forward, including these signs shall follow them that believe. That's part of the word. It's not the full word, but it's part of the word. John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So, what is life? The Word in the Word is life. So, is the Word a dead letter? No, in the Word is life. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Word preached brings forth what? The new birth. Brother Branham says, the new birth is the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and are handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may fellowship, have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So it's the word of life. The life is manifested. We've seen it. We show unto you the eternal life. So eternal life is what? The word of life. It's the living word. It's not a dead letter. How can we look at it and say the word is just a dead letter? Psalm 107:20 says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Now, we want to look at what is the dead letter? What is the dead letter? And what becomes dead letter? So 1 Corinthians 2:4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of the world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So Paul is saying, when I came to you initially to preach the gospel and to introduce Christ to you, I didn't come bringing you wisdom and words of wisdom. I came and brought you the simple truth of the gospel, and I demonstrated it with the Spirit. In other words, he preached that Jesus came, he died, he was buried, he was raised again, he was seen by many, and he ascended to heaven and is interceding for us. He preached that, and what accompanied it was signs and miracles in order to prove this is from God, so that your faith would not just be merely in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. All right? That's clear. But he doesn't stop there. He says, howbeit. Howbeit. Think about that for a second. Howbeit. However, you know, what does this word howbeit mean? Howbeit, But, so it's a but. There's a but there. Don't leave it just at the gospel comes not in word only, but in power and demonstration. Don't leave it at that, because there's a but. Howbeit, but we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. So those that are babies, we speak simple gospel truth. But among the mature, in other words, at the church, in the church, when we're preaching to the congregation of believers, we speak wisdom. Yet not the wisdom of the world, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, revealing the hidden wisdom that God ordained before the world unto our glory. So we don't, this is, Paul keeps us in balance. See, it's not saying that he just only preaches this. That's where he starts, in simplicity with the power of God, in demonstration, but he continues on. It doesn't dismiss that portion of it. It always stays there, and it always is there. But there's more to it. There's also the wisdom of God in a mystery. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So can I ask a question? Is the wisdom of God in a mystery, is it dead letter? Is it dead letter? What is dead letter? Dead letter is false teaching. The word preached is not dead letter. The word taught is not dead letter. But as it is written, 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But, here's another but, God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So again, it's not that we don't know, it's that we do know, but we don't know by human thinking and reasoning. We don't know by the flesh. We know by the Spirit teaching us and leading us. For what man knoweth the things of man, verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So when Paul came and preached to them and they didn't have the Spirit, he preached not wisdom. What did he preach? He preached the simplicity of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified in demonstration and power. But those who have received the Spirit, now that Spirit begins to teach you. We receive the Spirit of God so that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Those hidden things, the wisdom of God in a mystery. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Listen, but the natural man receives not the spirit of things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Listen, when it becomes the dead letter is when a man who does not have the Spirit of God goes and seeks to teach the things of the Word. Then it becomes a dead letter. First, get the Spirit of God, and then the Spirit of God will guide you to teach the people the things that are freely given to us of God. We are to receive the Spirit so that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Not just merely so that we would have an emotion, that we would have a sensation, but that we would know the wisdom of God that comes in a mystery. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. the natural man can't figure it out, can't understand it. It takes the revelation of the Holy Spirit to bring that to your heart. He that is spiritual, that is, that has the Spirit, judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And this brings us to the simplicity of the word. What is the dead letter? The dead letter is when a man without the Spirit of God is preaching the word of God. It becomes then a dead letter. But even then, the word can still change a person's heart, because in the word itself, there is power. Brother Branham teaches us that and shows us that is just by being in the right atmosphere, you can be born of the word. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation, excuse me, or letter to you, or letters of commendation, my goodness. Do we need letters of commendation from you? You are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Paul is saying, I don't need a letter of recommendation from you to go to another church. You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, because your life puts on display Christ, which we have preached unto you. Verse 3, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now, here is where we find the letter kills. Does this mean the Bible kills? I'm scared to even say such a thing. The Bible kills? We have to understand the context of this. The Bible shows us what this means. But the Spirit giveth life. The Spirit working through the Word gives life. But if the, verse 7, but if the ministration of death written and graven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Now, there we see the contrast. He's contrasting the old covenant and the new covenant. He calls the old covenant the ministration of death. Now, understand, the old covenant is glorious and beautiful, and it's a display of the manifestation of God. It tells us the nature of God. The Ten Commandments are beautiful and glorious. And they are the word that's written on our heart. He writes the law on our hearts. Jeremiah 34, read it for yourself. He writes the word, the law on our hearts, so that by the Holy Spirit. But it's the ministration of death, because we are born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We are fallen creatures. So the word, the law comes forth and says, you shall not, you shall not, you shall not, you shall do this, you shall not. So we look at that. What is it? What does it produce in us? Death. So it's written and engraven in stones. That is the letter that kills. The Ten Commandments kill us because we are dead in sin, and we're shaped in iniquity. We're dead. So the Spirit has to come and bring us life. How does the Spirit come? Through the conduit of the Word. The Word declared comes and changes us. Not the gospel of the Baptist, not the gospel of the Reformed Church, not the gospel, but the gospel of the Bible. The Bible the Spirit of God works through the Bible and the preaching of the Bible to bring life. The new covenant is the Spirit of God taking the word and writing it on our hearts. That's the ministration of the Spirit. Verse 8, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, see, the ministration of the condemnation is glory. Much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. The ministry of righteousness, in other words, imputing righteousness to us by the word through the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, for even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. In other words, if you compare the two, the ministry of condemnation does not have any glory in comparison. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remains is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Verse 13, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away with Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Verse 16, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, when their heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So remember, the ministry of the Spirit is the preaching of the word with power. Again, all of this comes together. You can be anointed with the Spirit, but not anointed to the word. You can be anointed on your spirit, but not anointed on your soul by the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham says, you say, I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That don't mean you're saved, he says. You have the anointing on your spirit, doing signs and wonders. You can be false. Why? Because you're away from the word. The word preached is the carrier of the Spirit. I'm not saying the Old Testament law. I'm saying someone who is called, anointed by the Spirit of God, truly called to preach the word, the Spirit of God goes with him. And signs, of course, follow that. But remember, it's not about majoring on the sign, it's majoring on the word. The word preached is what calls the elect. The Spirit working through the word brings life. The letter killeth. This means the Bible kills. No, the Bible doesn't kill. The Bible brings life. What kills? It's when there's no working of the Holy Spirit through that word. All right. So understand, it's twofold. It's a false word. Therefore, there's no spirit. In the true word, the spirit moves. The spirit works. All right. It's the conduit of the spirit to your heart. His words are spirit and they are life. And automatically signs would follow that word. The supernatural power of God will follow that word. And so it's simple to say it's a dead letter. But what is a dead letter? What is the letter that killeth? Paul is showing us it's the Old Testament without the Holy Spirit working. Just the Old Testament by itself. The law is the ministration of death. The law produces death because the law has no spirit in it. It's beautiful, it's glorious, but it doesn't have a promise of the new covenant. The new covenant is what? God takes his word by the baptism of the Holy Ghost and writes it on our heart. I hope that's clear to you. I'm not trying to attack anybody. I'm not trying to come against anybody. But let's speak with maturity and balance in the scriptures. Let's not just throw out things which can bring us out of balance in the word. So may God bless you. Thank you for listening in. If you have any feedback, questions, prayer requests, testimonies, let me know. We sure appreciate you. May the Lord richly bless. Thank you for listening to Equipping the Bride podcast. New episodes are posted every Friday. I want to remind you that if you have any questions, testimonies, or prayer requests, please let me know at jasondemars.com. I also have free books and tracts available at my website, and shipping is free as well. Please, I ask you to remember the believers and the missions work in the Middle East in prayer. May the Lord richly bless you.